Appreciate Pastor Bob Kettering filling in last week for me as we continued the preaching series celebrating our brethren values, and so glad he could come and talk about missions and how central that is, how foundational that is to us as brethren. Today we're going to look at the idea of peace and pursuing peace faithfully, and that's a brethren value that we want to celebrate and recognize today. Next week, we will conclude this preaching series as we've been looking at our celebrating our brethren values here over the last couple months. The Church of the Brethren has been called one of the historic peace churches, along with the Quakers and the Mennonites. In other words, since the beginning of the Brethren over 300 years ago in Germany, we have been pursuing peace faithfully. And for the brethren, everything begins with Jesus Christ. We talked about that earlier in this preaching series. And so does our pursuit of peace. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace and very powerfully for us, convincingly modeled for us how to live a peace-filled life. There are times when Jesus talked to bringing division. It is true. He told his disciples that they were to buy a sword. We have the story of Jesus overturning the money changers in the temple. We have those stories, but by and large, Jesus was the model of peace. And as the Messiah, He is our guide, our rule of faith and practice, we look to Jesus, and as the Prince of Peace, He certainly lived that life, particularly in the end of His life, when He was being wrongly accused and being tried and being convicted and then sentenced to death and dying on the cross for us. So today we're going to look at some of Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48, for a message entitled Pursuing Peace Faithfully. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 38. Hear now the Word of God. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. It's important to note where these words are being shared. This, of course, is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching. He's talking to fellow Jews. He is in Galilee in the north. He's not in Jerusalem. He's probably out on a hillside. He's probably preaching to thousands of people, probably lots more than that when we include the women and children. And the Sermon on the Mount probably didn't happen maybe at one time, but maybe over several days. And there are lots of people there, 5,000 men listening and lots of women and children as well. And in this setting, Jesus is able to deliver this great sermon. And I think we could all agree that the Sermon on the Mount is pretty tough. There's some teaching in the Sermon on the Mount that's hard for us to understand. And Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount by talking about the Beatitudes, those attitudes that we're to adorn our life with if we're truly following the Lord. And there is some teaching we're going to look at today, which is tough for us as well. And Jesus, of course, is teaching about the kingdom of God. And so you have to picture yourself in this setting on a Judean hillside, listening to Jesus talk about the kingdom of God and what it means to follow the Lord. And so as you listen to these words, you listen to this message, picture yourself in that setting, listening to Jesus, the master teacher. Beginning with verse 38, Jesus talks about a common problem, not just for Jews, but for all humans, and that is our desire, when we are hurt, Do we want to get even? And our first point today is this. Pursuing peace faithfully means we don't seek retribution. Pursuing peace faithfully means we don't seek retribution. Now, Jesus is pretty clear about that. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Jesus is quoting the Old Testament here. He's quoting scriptures that these people would have known, things that they had heard many, many times. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth appears three times in the Old Testament, in Exodus, in Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. And this was all that they had known. This is the law that they had been taught since they were young. This is what they had grown up with. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. It made sense to them. And I suspect when Jesus shared his words in verse 38 and on, that there was probably a collective gasp among the people. What do you mean? Retribution, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's all we've ever known. That's just the way life is. But Jesus made it even more clear in verse 39. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You want to talk about shocking your audience? That's what Jesus is doing here. He is shocking his audience. This was so contrary to everything that they have known. This is not how they were taught, how they had grown up. And here is Jesus talking about all these things of going the extra mile, of turning your cheek when you're being struck. And they're thinking, what about eye for eye and tooth for tooth? What about retribution? And Jesus says, no. You're pursuing peace. You have to forget about retribution. We cannot seek retribution. What does that mean for us today? Does that mean we don't defend ourselves? Does that mean we don't seek retribution in court when we're wronged? It means that we follow the example of Jesus, who never sought retribution, even when he was wrongly tried and convicted and beaten and eventually crucified. Jesus is challenging his hearers, he's challenging you and me to rise above the meanness and the idea of retribution and getting what is mine, an idea that prevails in our world even today. Some scholars here suggest that Jesus is referring to insults here rather than actual physical striking. In an ancient world, if a person wanted to insult someone, he slapped the other person with the back of his hand on the opposite cheek. So a right-handed person would slap another person on the right cheek when he wanted to insult him. Now, whether Jesus is talking about insults or he's talking about being physically attacked, I think the idea is the same. That is, we don't seek retribution. If we're going to pursue peace faithfully, we cannot be seeking retribution. Jesus, in fact, says, offer the other cheek. That's what love keeps us doing. It keeps us giving. And that's exactly what Jesus modeled for us. Someone who was wrongfully accused, yes, but kept giving. Jesus is setting his hearers up for what is to come next. But this idea of seeking retribution, an eye for eye, a tooth for tooth, is so contrary to our pursuit of peace. Rather than seeking to get, what does Jesus says? He wants you to give. Give the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Give your tunic as well. Each time Jesus says give, when we're thinking about retribution and getting, Jesus says give. Now, I don't know about you, but I was brought up in this country, and I was brought up with the idea that you got to stand up for yourself. You got to defend yourself. You got to take care of numero uno, right? You're not going to be a doormat your whole life. You got to take care of yourself and defend yourself. But Jesus is commanding us, that's not the way of peace. The way of peace is to set aside our need to get even and to seek retribution, to give above and beyond what is expected. And I think we could all agree, that this is a growth area for all of us. This is a growth area for all of us. But for a first century Jew living under Roman rule and schooled since birth that the rule of law is eye for eye and tooth for tooth, this was revolutionary teaching. You got to be kidding me, Jesus. Well, hang in there. There's a lot more coming. In verse 43, again, Jesus taps into what they have known and practiced all their lives. You have heard that it was said, Jesus begins, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, if Jesus didn't go across the line by telling them to not seek retribution and to go the extra mile, he does with this announcement, with this pronouncement, that they are to love their enemies. Verses 43 and 44, they would have upset any and every red-blooded Jewish male who was listening. Here is the point. Pursuing peace faithfully means we love and we pray for those who harm us. Pursuing peace faithfully means we love and we pray those who pray for those who harm us. Jesus used the word enemies, and most of us don't think we have enemies, but we do have people that have harmed us. We do have people that have harmed us. For the Jews, all they have known throughout their life was enemies. Look at the history of the Jewish people. It is filled with enemies seeking to destroy them. We read the stories in the Old Testament of the enemies of the Jews, starting with the Amalekites, and then, of course, the Canaanites and the Philistines are prevalent as well. Remember the story of David and Goliath. All throughout the Old Testament, Israel struggled against her enemies. And so a first century male Jew was conditioned that it's all about the enemies, because the Israelite people, that's all they've known, is people out to destroy them. And we think of what happened to the Jewish people in the last 100 years, from the Nazis who killed 6 million Jews in the 1940s to nations that have continually attacked Israel since their statehood in 1948. Israel today is surrounded by enemies like Iran and Iraq, Syria, and not to mention the Palestinians. Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. And for a first century Jewish male, that seemed impossible. And for a 21st century Jewish male, it may seem just as impossible. But Jesus is telling his people and he's telling his followers that the path to peace is love. It's not hate. If you want to pursue peace in your life, you got to pursue love. We love those who harm us, those who we may even consider enemies. And friends, don't think for a moment that that is easy. When the Civil War ended, a group of angry Southerners gained an audience with President Lincoln, and they were airing their complaints. And his gentle and friendly manner soon thawed their icy hostility and left them with a new respect for their old foe. When a Northern congressman insisted that Lincoln must destroy, not befriend his enemies, Lincoln smiled and replied, "Am I not destroying my enemies by making them my friends?" You see, Lincoln learned the example that Jesus is preaching here, that we're to love our enemies and treat them as friends. And that's our third point today. For us to pursue peace faithfully, we treat our enemies as friends. We do. Jesus said in verse 46, if you love those who hate you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than that? Do not even the pagans do that? In other words, love your enemies. That means you treat them differently. You treat them differently. Pray for them, love them, treat them as friends. You can't be filled with malice and anger toward them. Gracia Burnham wrote a book about 20 years ago now entitled In the Presence of My Enemies. Gracia and her husband Martin were American missionaries in the Philippines. They were at an island resort and they were celebrating their anniversary when they were kidnapped by a terrorist group with ties to Osama bin Laden. They lived the next year on the run in the Philippine jungle. They faced near starvation, constant exhaustion, frequent gun battles, and cold-hearted murder. They were surrounded by armed terrorists every day, and they moved each day they were moving to stay one step ahead of the authorities. Gracia and her husband, Martin, lived under torturous conditions. They were surrounded by enemies each day, and they began, but then they began to befriend their guards. They comforted their fellow hostages, and they kept their faith in God and determined that they were going to treat their enemies as friends and pray for them. Friends, can you imagine being surrounded by your enemies each day, armed with AK-47s, ready to end your life at any moment? Can you imagine them watching your every move, chaining you to a tree at night so you wouldn't escape, not hearing from your loved ones in months? Can you imagine your life hanging in the balance every day for a year as these terrorists held out hope for the ransom to be paid that you knew was not going to be paid? How could you love your enemies in that situation? Well, Martin and Gracia did exactly that. And after a year of being held hostage and living in the jungles of the Philippines, the Burnhams were saved by a brazen rescue attempt by the Philippine authorities. But in the gunfight that ensued, Gracia was wounded, and Martin, unfortunately, was killed. Gracia recovered and returned home to be with her three children and told the story of how we can truly treat our enemies as friends. The last point we want to make today comes from verse 48, where Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." You know, Jesus is challenging his hearers. He's saying, you want to pursue peace faithfully? You need to be like me. You need to be like Jesus. And that's our final point today. To pursue peace faithfully, we aspire to be just like Jesus. He was and he is the Prince of Peace, and his followers were called to be just like him and to pursue peace faithfully. So what does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean for us in the 21st century in the Church of the Brethren? It means we let the life and teaching of Jesus be our guide. You know, the early brethren, they studied the scriptures and they studied the teachings of Jesus, and they believed that peace was the only way in which we could live, truly live, for him. Thus, they determined that all war was sin, that torture was wrong, that the love of our enemies was first and foremost to be evident in a believer's lives. I remember when I was being interviewed to consider becoming pastor here at Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren, that I was asked what drew me to the Church of the Brethren. And I remember saying it was the strong peace position that the Church of the Brethren holds. The Church of the Brethren believes that war or any participation in war is wrong and incompatible with the spirit, example, and teachings of Jesus Christ. The Church of the Brethren brings the message to Capitol Hill to be a witness to Christ's peace in a place full of conflict. The Church of the Brethren has consistently worked for peace and called on its members to be powerful witnesses to the tragedy of gun violence. It's efforts and its goals like these that made me want to be a part of the work of God here in and through the Church of the Brethren. That we faithfully, persistently pursue peace. Church of the Brethren website says this about the peace that we are pursuing. The Church of the Brethren seeks to become a living peace church. Christians are called to witness to the gospel of the peace with such intensity that nations repent and history is changed. Less than a radical witness can only lead us to accept idols of materialism and blind nationalism and glorification of military strength. Dependence on technological solutions for human problems and personal and national security at the expense of justice. For over 300 years now, the Church of the Brethren has been pursuing peace faithfully. Let us continue to do so. Let me close with this. Since its inception, the Church of the Brethren has been committed to peace. And brethren, they fled Germany and Holland to escape war and persecution coming to America. And the founder of the church, Alexander Mack, stated firmly, he said, quote, "No Anabaptist will be found in war." And despite the harassment, the church resisted support of the Revolutionary War effort. This harassment was magnified as brethren refused to participate in the Civil War, especially in the South. In 1974, On Earth, Peace Was Foreign, which focuses on peace education. And in 1976, Brethren and Mennonites joined the Friends in New Call, in a new call to peacemaking, which sponsored several conferences to explore actively the implications of peacemaking in the contemporary world. In recent history, the Brethren have recognized justice as a critical element of peacemaking. In 1983, Brethren churches were declared sanctuaries for Central American refugees and assisted in resettling them. In 1986, the Church of the Brethren opposed investing in any company doing business in South Africa where the government practiced apartheid. The Church of the Brethren has grown in its understanding of the complexity of violence beyond warfare to include economic and spiritual, emotional and physical violence. Today, the Church seeks peace as not merely the opposite of war, but as a system where all of God's creation is given just treatment. Friends, may we aspire as well to pursue peace faithfully. Psalm 34, verse 14 says, "Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." There were one verse that summarizes this value for the brethren. This might be that verse. In our world, which seems so devoid of peace, now more than ever, might we be a vocal minority who are championing peace in our commitment to be just like Jesus? As you'll recall in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." May we, the Mechanic Grove Church of the Brethren, continue to pursue peace faithfully and know that we will be blessed and called sons and daughters of God if we do so. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we recognize today that it is a challenge to continue to pursue peace faithfully, but it is the example of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus that we aspire to. And we want to continue this great value that began over 300 years ago and continues today so prominently in your church, that we as brethren would be people of peace and that we would seek peace and pursue peace daily as we interact one with another. Thank you that Jesus is the example for us and that Jesus continues to encourage us to pursue peace faithfully as He is our Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.